Please join me in the book of Mark. Just a short message for us this morning. And I want to relate a little bit of what went on in Pakistan as a part of this. But Mark chapter 5, and I've entitled the message, An Unlikely Missionary. An Unlikely Missionary. Hear the inspired and errant word of the living God. Mark 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him, night and day among the tombs and on the mountain. He was always crying out and cutting himself with the stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, What is your name? He replied, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, Send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described it to them, what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region, and he was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, quite a unique passage, and especially when I'm identifying it as a passage that I'm going to use to talk about the most unlikeliest of missionaries. And here is a very strange story of a man who is demon-possessed, who is possessed by what is thought to be about 2,000 demons, and his name Legion, which means thousands. It's a Roman guard name. Usually when you use the word Legion with the Roman army, it's about 6,000. And so somewhere in that number, there was a bunch of them. But a very odd story indeed, and you ask the question, why did Jesus negotiate with these demons? Why did Jesus even give them a voice or allow them to have a voice? And them saying to Jesus, why did you come to torment us? You see, this is one of the great things about Jesus Christ and Satan and demons, etc. While we know Jesus as personal Savior, the demons know Jesus as the Son of God. Not in a salvific way, not as a Savior, but they know who he is. This story here says that the man saw Jesus from afar and ran to him and fell in front of him because he knew exactly who that man was. And he knew exactly the power he had and the authority he had over them. So they went to him humbly, asking them not to cast them out of the country, meaning back into oblivion or wherever he would want to send them. And he negotiates with them. Send us into the pigs. Don't you find it kind of unique? This is a Jewish story and it's got pigs in it. Kind of odd. But why did Jesus negotiate with them? And why did Jesus send them off into the pigs? Not a good answer there, but everyone believes, most believe, that he wanted verifiable proof that no one could say that that didn't happen. When you see 2,000 pigs floating in the ocean, something happened. And they knew the story. So it was verifiable proof of exactly what Jesus did and the authority Jesus did had over those demons, that he could cast them out or place them and allow them to go to another place. Again, shows the power and authority of Jesus Christ. But then after the fact, after the demons were cast out, And I've actually seen that happen one time with my uncle. Very, very frightening. Very frightening event. But after the fact, after the demons were cast out, this young man pleaded with Jesus Christ so that he could go with him. But what did Jesus tell him? And he, in many stories, many times that Jesus heals in the Bible, what does he tell the folks to do after he's healed them? Go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Go tell what Jesus Christ has done. Here in verse 19, he says, he did not permit him to go, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. The most unlikeliest of missionaries. Here is a man who at one point was possessed by thousands of demons, is now an evangelist. Tells you what God can do. Tells you what God can do. But that is a most unlikely missionary. And can you imagine the reception this man had when he went back into town? Everybody knew who he was. He was probably very well known because of all of his antics and his crying out and his cutting and not being able to be chained or held. And so they knew who he was. And so here he is coming into town. You think that man had a story? Do you think he had a story? Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. You knew where I was. You knew who I was. A very unlikely missionary. Well, I'd like to tell you about another unlikely mission. Not a missionary, but a mission. And that is a Christian broadcasting network in Pakistan. Think on that for a moment. A Christian broadcasting network in a country of 200 million people, 98% of which is Muslim, and a television station, the television program, is going to be broadcast over cable right now, eventually over satellite, but right now over cable. But again, if you were to give that some thought and see what God is doing in a place such as that, that this broadcast network is going to have solidly Christian programming, but it's not going to be Christian programming like you would see when you turn on the TV on 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Not one worship service right after another. Very few worship services at all. Some at night, but mostly during the day, it's going to be a very broad-based network using sports, home improvement, women's programming, children's programming, cooking shows to present the gospel. And you say, now how are you going to do that? Well, it's going to be by Christians. And they're going to tell their story while they're involved in whatever it is that they're being covered, that's covered. This is done intentionally because there are several other Christian broadcasting networks in Pakistan that I've learned, but all of them are religious worship services. How many Muslims are going to watch that? Not going to happen. How many Muslims will watch a cooking show, women's programming, children's programming, and then through that means, a Christian ethic will be promoted that we pray the Holy Spirit would use to find someone, to call someone, to ask a question, and then maybe lead that person to Jesus Christ. Now, the program is also there to support the Christians in the country. I'll speak for the ARP Church alone. There's about, I think the number is about 180,000 ARPs in Pakistan. We're 35,000 in the States. Our big sister over there has got us outnumbered big time. However, the ARP church in Pakistan is incredibly poor. A large percentage of them live below the poverty line. A good percentage of the ARPs are actually indentured servants. You would refer to them as slaves. Because of a debt, because of a financial position, they've had to encumber themselves to an owner, and so they are slaves. And they have horrible working conditions. As you drive through Pakistan, you'll see a huge smokestack sticking up in the middle of basically nowhere. But then when you get close to it, you can see the piles and piles and stacks of bricks. And they're making bricks to be used in building houses and factories, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the individuals who are firing those bricks to harden them are the indentured servants of the ARP church. And when I learned that, it was just like, that's incredible that some of our brothers and sisters are slaves in this country. And so through this programming, and through other means, of course, but through this programming, it will be directed to supporting not just the ARP Christians, but the Christians in the nation in their walk with Christ. And they certainly need that. Now, the Christian Muslim population, they get along well in Pakistan. Pakistan tries very hard, from what I've learned just in my short exposure, to try to distance themselves from their neighbors and the activities of which most of their neighbors, many of their neighbors, are involved with, such as the terror acts. They try very hard to distance themselves from all of that. A very warm, very loving, very caring people, as I've said earlier. But they want you to know that when you come into their country, you are wanted, you are invited, and you are cared for. As I said, I every time we went into a small town, I would have to go to the police station and check in because that police chief wanted to know where I was for my protection, but also for his, because he's responsible for me. If something were to happen to me, then he's held accountable. And so we had armed guards with us much of the time, armed transport to and from the airport. And it wasn't so much they were protecting us, but as I said, they were going to be held accountable if anything happened to me, happened to us. And so it's an amazing thing. But again, to see all of these diverse people, the most unlikeliest of missionaries, to put a broadcasting network of this caliber, it's going to rival what you see on our televisions in the quality and the integrity of the work. But to see this going on in Pakistan, of a country that's 98% Muslim, it's an incredible thing. But then also one of the amazing things, as I sat there, I was basically an observer to all the board meetings and all the discussions, but to sit there and look and watch these individuals as they come from all around the world, Australia, Norway, London, of course, France, Canada, the United States, the chairman of the board is the second in line to be the Archbishop of Canterbury in England. That's a big deal, and he's Christian. And he's going to be the chairman of the board, which brings a lot of clout. There are several other politicians from different countries, from Pakistan on the board, several theologians, of course, several pastors on the board. Our church, the ARP Church, holds three positions on that international board. So the ARP Church is going to have a great deal of influence in this programming. And so again, just the idea of what God can do in some of the most unbelievable ways. Andrew Brunson coming home. This gentleman being relieved and the demons being cast out. A Christian broadcasting network in a Muslim country. That we believe, the folks who are leading this believe that the interaction with the Muslims, and see, this is one of the things about the Muslims, they want the conversation. They want to talk about it because they want to talk about their faith, but they're open to talking to you about yours. And see, we find that very difficult here because most of the times they don't want to talk anything about religion, especially Christianity. But the Muslims, they want to talk about it. They'll sit down and have a coffee with you in a moment and have that conversation, and it will be very civil. It will be very civil. The people of Pakistan, as I said, were warm and open and friendly and caring, and I stuck out like a sore thumb. You know, this big guy with white hair and a red face, they would look at me, and when I would smile, they would smile back. Great, great, great time. And then back in London for the international board meeting, again, just to sit there and be a part of that. I appreciate y'all letting me do that. I appreciate y'all supporting me through prayer doing that. I don't know that I'll volunteer to do that again for a while. 32 hours of flying is just a little bit much. But again, unlikely missionaries. But let me finish this by pointing to a very likely missionary. And it's everyone in this room. Everybody in this room is a very likely missionary. And every one of you have a story. Every one of you have a story of what God has done in your life. It ain't demon possession and casting out, I pray. But every one of us have a story. And we're living that story with a new chapter every day. And we should be just like that man who had the demons cast out. I want to go be where Jesus is. And he said, no, not yet. You go and tell. So you go and tell. Go and tell what God has done for you. Even our little ones have stories of where Jesus has, you know, made them just anything. That's what we're commissioned to do. And the mission field starts right outside that door. At our workplace, within our families, within our schools. You don't have to travel to Pakistan. You don't have to travel to Belize. We got folks going to do that. You're welcome to go. We'll be going back to Belize in 2020. But I want us all to know that that's our call. That's our call, is to go right outside that door and share the gospel in word and in deed, so that the dark world around us would come to know who Jesus is. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the wonderful message of the gospel and how simple, but yet how profound it is. And encourage us, Holy Spirit, to stand up and to speak out when we have that opportunity. In Jesus' holy name, amen.